could be. Who knows? There's something due any day. I will know right away, soon as it shows. It'd make them cannonballing down through the sky, gleaming its eye, bright as a rose. It's only just out of reach, down on the beach, under a tree. I got a feeling there's a miracle due, gonna come true, coming to
My name is Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, Doctor of Chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California, for over 27 years and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center. I'd like to welcome you all to this week's radio show, Attitude Adjustment, where I interview inspiring and motivational guests on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We stretch your limits as to what is possible. Each week, we tackle an issue and share how to create a healthier lifestyle, live without pain, and embrace small nutritional health and wellness changes that make a big difference. This week, I'd like to welcome Michelle Pardes. Hi, Michelle, are you there?
All of me is there, including the frog in my throat. So we are here together.
That's wonderful. And we accept the frog in your throat today, Michelle. We're so glad to have you, yes, today.
Oh, and
I'd like to give everybody a little information about you and as far as your background, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, so in May of 2003, Michelle discovered a lump, and her medical journey began at this point. Months later, she was telephoned with her diagnosis as she stood in her classroom teaching. And Michelle has been an amazing teacher. She was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma, large B-cell stage 4. Within 24 hours, she made her exodus from teaching, which she loved so passionately, to an unfamiliar and a very frightening world, the world of cancer, the big C. Michelle promised her students she'd return. 3 years later, after innumerable obstacles, disappointments, and finally a bone marrow transplant, she was welcomed back to the classroom. Her journey, however, was far from over. Her classroom was the same, but Michelle changed. She had overcome cancer, but her life would never be the same. Now, Michelle wears her teacher's hat proudly, for she has realized a new dream to lead others out of the land of darkness into the world of light. Michelle delivers a messages of paying hope forward as a survivorship coach, author, and speaker. Michelle passionately believes no one should face a health crisis alone. In her public addresses and in the pages of her book, she breathes hope and inspiration to all who are touched by cancer. Michelle, you are amazing, and you know I know you on a personal level.
Yes.
And so... This bio is unbelievable. If you can just tell us a little bit more in detail about
Sure. I have to smile because West Side Story, of course, if the frog left today, you would hear my New York accent coming from there. And who knows is really in New York or anywhere in the world when you leave your door, who knows what's going to happen. And I left my classroom door. Who knows when I touched my hand to the left side of my neck that there was a lump that showed its face. The interesting thing is, as much as we all like to sing, I don't know, it was at that second that I knew my life would change. Denial is a wonderful thing, and of course everyone said, you're imagining things, but 9 months later the imagination became the reality. So I fluctuated between the world of wishing the original diagnosis, mononucleosis, was accurate. Unfortunately, the kissing disease does not remain within one's body past the age of maybe 40, and I was 52. So at that point, I had to face my reality if I wanted to talk to Dr. Iris today. So mm-hmm. as anyone says, when you're faced with choice, the choice was voice, which of course I don't have, but the voice to be able to see which options you have. And that's really the journey I think that we all have. I don't find myself extraordinary. I find myself very ordinary, having gone through an extraordinary journey, just one of thousands of different challenges we all go through every single day. So that was the beginning of many, many new beginnings, because in cancer, there's no definitive. Especially mine was a blood cancer, one that is not really obvious on the outside and doesn't embrace chemotherapy on the inside. It's very different. I wasn't in the in-group, as I told people, where breast cancer, they had much more research with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is part of the leukemia and other types of blood cancer families. The cell structure, which is so complex, can form and mutate in thousands of different ways, which means thousands of different elements in the chemotherapy may kiss the cell and not be able to get us well. So that was the beginning. It's called trial and error, and I did a lot of arrowing, lots of it. And as my mother and I know, we evaluated the oncologist offices that we went through by the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And I always laugh about it, because when you think about a couch, you want comfort. So I had been to multiple oncologist offices, and they always had to really speak to me. And Dr. Iris, it's always the question, so how do you know which doctor you want to go to?
Exactly.
If I had to go to a doctor, I would pick you, because the day I met you, your smile said, come see me, you'll feel happy and feel good. You were inviting. And that's a word that is so necessary in a world that is truly dark, simply because of the word cancer. Cancer. You hear that word, Dr. Iris, and everything stops.
Mm-hmm.
The silence is so loud that you want to cover your ears, and you don't want to hear anything more.
Michelle, did you feel that you're saying you assumed the possibility of the mono diagnosis versus the cancer mm-hmm. diagnosis? So when you first heard that diagnosis, mm-hmm. what was going on in your mind? Did you think that maybe the doctors made a mistake?
It's an interesting question, because I always believe the doctors do as best as they can. But we live in the world where so little time, to no one's fault, is really difficult to distribute because of the amount of patients doctors have. And so you have to do those three L's that all of us do in different professions. You have to look, you have to listen, and you have to learn.
So let's repeat that, Michelle. Wait 1 second. You have to look, you have to listen, and you have to learn.
Absolutely. Three L's.
Okay. Great. So that's some very good information for any of our listeners who are going through a maybe a little difficult time right now.
Absolutely. You have to look at the picture. Now, the picture may look similar. In my case, the picture did look similar to mononucleosis. I had an enlarged lump. So it was a very natural assumption to think, okay, she has a lump. Then you have to listen. Now, here's the problem. How much am I willing to share? Or do I know what to share? At that point, even though I didn't feel well, my personality lends itself to still going forward, even though I'm not well. So I minimized. So I did tell the doctor I was feeling a little achy, a little tired, but I did not give him the total truth. If I had done it over today, he would have listened. I would have spoken in a more detailed fashion. which is a difficult choice because we don't really want to make it worse than it sounds. We're afraid, and the fear is natural. Unfortunately, it's that fear that can hurt us if you don't give the truth and everything with all symptoms, with everything you're experiencing. Because it takes a sharp ear. And in mononucleosis, the diagnosis was given as a result of a needle biopsy. In the world of breast cancer, a needle biopsy is appropriate. You can tell to do, of course, further diagnostic procedures. However, in non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, if you have an enlarged node on your neck, a needle biopsy is not indicated. And this is something that has been really discussed. Part of the benchmark in finding non-Hodgkin's is never to do a needle biopsy, because you're going to hit and miss. And if you're lucky, in my case, I felt I was lucky. In the beginning, I was told I had mono. I celebrated. I thought it was a wonderful diagnosis because the fatigue is parallel to non-Hodgkin's. So I rested for 2 weeks. However, as much as I'd like to tell you, Dr. Iris, that I thought the lump was disappearing, it was very much there. The imagination is strong. I imagined it like that big pimple on your nose wanting it to go away.
Sure.
You take it away, but it was as large as ever.
Wow.
And it never went away.
Got it. Michelle, we are going to be taking a break in about a minute or so.
Okay.
So you said look, listen, and learn. Can you, in just a little bit, talk a little bit more about the third L, learn?
Sure. Learn, knowledge, power. As much as it's frightening to learn because the information can be scary, you have to learn to sift through the information and do it slowly according to your own personality. How much can you tolerate and how much can you process? Everyone learns differently.
Got it. Sure. Okay. So in the remaining 15 minutes, we're going to take a very short break right now. And in the remaining 15 minutes, Michelle's going to talk to us about her foundation, about her book, and inspire all of us to show us how she overcame this whole obstacle in her life. Glad you are able to be with us today. We are taking a short break. If you would like to ask our guest a question during the next segment of our show, please contact innerlightradio@yahoo.com or call 310-928-7733. As a doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California for over 27 years and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center, my staff and I are compassionate health experts. Through our integrative approach, we create miraculous breakthroughs in your physical and emotional health using cutting-edge technologies. Along with our inspirational and healing touch, we customize wellness packages to optimize your quality of life so that you can live your best life without pain. You are welcome to contact Dr. Iris by going to her website, www.driris.com. Looking forward to sharing this powerful second part of our show today. Welcome back to our second part of our show with Michelle Pardis. And Michelle, you wrote a book called Still Breathing From Cancer to Living. Can you give us a little background on how that came about?
Surely. It came about as a result of a promise. When one goes through a journey, one, of course, becomes different things, different parts of your personality evolves. And when I evolved out of the City of Hope, I looked behind me and I made a promise, because I was one who was lucky enough to see the sky, which is on the cover of my book. It was as blue as I produced the cover, or less is more, and Leslie, my graphic artist, who was brilliant. Mm-hmm. It was as red as the blood that I had seen on other patients as well as myself, and as, of course, smelled incredible on the outside. So you see the rose, but on the inside there were different senses. And the smell of a hospital is never forgotten. Neither are the patients. And I had a patient who really taught me what the meaning of perfection is. And perfection is the joy you feel giving hope to others. And that's something that this young man gave me, making a prayer for my well-being, my, of course, health and healing. And it was done in one day, and the next day I was above ground and he was below. But I never forget to say hello to him every single day. He was 27 years old and about to be married. And he was able to die with a smile on his face because he gave me hope to walk out. So I made a promise when I left that I would pay hope forward to anyone that needed a helping hand. And the only payment that I wanted was a smile and a hug. So I made the price of the book, Life, B'chaim in Hebrew, means 18. And I have a generous husband who has given me the monetary means to be able to make the books, never sell the books. And it's something that I made another promise. The richness that I have found in giving hope makes me a multimillionaire. However, It does cost money to make the books. And so Paying Hope Forward is a book that I produce. And if people give me money, they pay the book forward to someone in need. And then any monies that I get, it's a nonprofit organization, I then produce. Now, what was interesting is, Dr. Iris, you're interviewing me in a very timely fashion. Each year I made a promise on Paying Hope Forward. Still breathing was something, a gift. My father, who taught me the spirit of life, he was a Holocaust survivor, really taught me what it was like to have hope. But he also understood language. And he understood sometimes asking how you are, my father had the same illness I did, was never comfortable. It was my husband who really gave me the gift when I yelled at him and said, when he called me, how are you? I said, I don't want to tell you. You don't have enough hours in the day to really hear how I feel. He is an attorney. Time is money. He called me back 5 minutes later, and he said the infamous words, still breathing? And I laughed, because on those moments, which I never forget, he made me feel like him and everyone else. So it's all about labels. People look at each other and we all are labeled. I hated the label cancer. It was something that stuck in my craw because people treated me differently. And when they ask, how are you? No one really wants to know. They're kind and they're loving, but they're afraid to know. It could be contagious. You don't want to hear something as negative or as fearful. So the reason I wrote the book is to really equalize, normalize, and just say that cancer is like any other challenge. You have to plan when you can. I always say the first 24 hours of any crisis, you're allowed to scream, faint, holler, and eat a hot fudge sundae.
And eat a hot fudge sundae. I like that one,
always.
Michelle.
I did it both times when I delivered my twins and a singleton. Always a hot fudge sundae. I did it with my very, very dear friend on my birthday, and the breakfast, hot fudge sundae. You always have to remember the sweetness of life. The syrup is the mud. You have to get dirty. You have to get deep into it. And then you have the whipped cream. you have the fluff. And the fluff was this book. It was for me to pay hope forward and give a gift with a lift. People don't know what to say to a cancer person, nor do they know what to give to a cancer person. So the problem is, as one who goes through chemotherapy, we do have chemo brain, which we said today on the radio. The studies have proven memory does go. It does come back. We also have processing delay. I feel I was really dyslexic, I would say, for the first year, but I did go back teaching after 3 years. So there are changes physiologically. And the still breathing really was my way of telling people, here, give a book that does the three L's and gives a gift with the lift. It shows understanding and it's a share. This year, I did something different. This is a year of the voice, even though today I'm not a good example of it, where I had my voice read the story. I am a storyteller. I miss telling stories and reading stories to primary students. And I was able to have the best gift given to me by my mentor, Michael Rounds, who said, Michelle, it's time you read your story. So now I have my story on CD for MP3 players. And why is it so important? Because when you have chemotherapy or any other challenge in life, it's very difficult to read a page. You can't focus. You can't concentrate. But when you listen, you can listen to words and have it repeat when you can go back. And when you listen, you could listen alone, process the information, or listen with family members who have difficulties on their own and understand it together with you. So it is, in a way, a tool that promotes communication. Mm-hmm. And this is imperative when you go through cancer.
Yes.
Because there's a wonderful sheriff in Dana Point who just discovered she had breast cancer. And bless her heart, her really heroic attitude is she's going back to work after her treatment and to be as usual like she is today. We are all as usual as today, and in anything in life is metamorphosis. We all turn into other things. You become a new normal. Mm-hmm. And you are battling like a soldier. Okay. And it's something that is imprinted in your heart and part of you. You embrace it. So I'm going to leave you with these words. Cancer, like any life challenge, is like driving a car on a rainy day. And the worst thing you can do when you skid on a wet road is to be able to try to break out of your skid. You could perhaps cause a bigger accident. If you embrace your challenge and you go into your skid, go into your curve, embrace your challenge, try to breathe through it and go through it, try to understand there are support systems out there. But no one has the right to judge how you feel because it is how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
No one should ever say, I understand how you feel. No one can. Because it is your journey. However, we can be by your side, stand by your side, and hold you up for your ride with people like me,
mm-hmm.
who has walked the shoes.
Now, Michelle, mm-hmm. you have just given us some great information for our listeners. If you mm-hmm. could just summarize mm-hmm. two ways that our listeners can change their attitude, as my radio mm-hmm. show is about attitude adjustment. Can mm-hmm. you give us, summarize two ways that mm-hmm. our listeners can change their attitude?
Well, the first one are 20 years worth of first grade students who all know the F word. So they know when I say it's the F word, it's about flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Flexibility physically, flex your lips upwards to make a smile. Because even though the old, of course, song says, smile even though your heart is breaking, the smile does create the physiological response internally.
Mm-hmm.
And if you flex, even just walk a few steps, it still makes you feel that you're still breathing and going forward. And the second thing, drink lemonade.
Okay, why drink lemonade?
Drink lemonade. Because they say that if you bite into a lemon, it could be very sour. Thank God for the sour taste. Because if you learn that you can turn that sour taste into something very sweet and refreshing, lemonade, you would understand that out of bad comes good. So out of every painful experience, you grow leap years. Take it from a leapfrog that I sound like. You really look back and you're in awe at how far you are today and from where you really left off. So every day is another benchmark on being able to survive impossible odds.
So, Michelle, if people in our listening audience would like to get more information about your foundation and your book, can you please share how they can reach you?
Well, the first thing they have to do is I'll never forget to breathe. So my website is when they take that deep breath, is still breathing, like everyone does, .org.
So that's stillbreathing.org, okay.
.org. On the website itself, there is a homepage, and they, of course, can order the book. And I encourage for people to share with me, because on the website, there is a place where they can write to me. Because as I said before, I'm just one person who's very ordinary. It is together that we become extraordinary in learning from others.
That's wonderful.
So I am just a medium.
That's
and
wonderful.
If they care to email me, my name is The Beatles Song, Michelle.
Could you repeat that, please?
Excuse me?
Could you repeat that?
Sure. I am The Beatles Song, Michelle, with the two L's.
Okay.
And TARDIS is something we all do every night in our dreams when we think about partying, and you wake up happy, I hope. So my last name is TARDIS, T as in Paul, A-R, D as in David, E-S, at gmail.com.
Great.
And please know that I wear many hats. So I hope you invite me again, because I am one who invites challenge and see how far I can go in teaching others and learning from others.
Thank you so much, Michelle. I really appreciate you being on our show today. I want to thank you for being with us today, where we do this radio show on the second and fourth Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time, where you gain insights and inspiration from each of my guests. You are guaranteed to leave with two ways you can adjust your attitude. We look forward to our next show on Tuesday, December 11th, with Dr. Suki Stone, CEO and founder of Stone Educational Systems. She has a revolutionary formula for teaching learning disabled children to read in 14 days. For further information, contact me, Dr. Iris Rosenfeld. My email is dr.iris@earthlink.net, and my website is www.driris.com. And I'd like to leave you all with a quote. Speak kind words, and you'll hear kind words echo back. Have a beautiful day.
Phone will jingle, door will knock, open the latch. Something's coming, don't know when, but it's soon. Catch the moon, one-handed catch. Around the corner, our Westland.